asked him about going ahead and doing it, and he said, he wasn't able to do it right now, but we'll get to it. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. We're going to be looking at, I think, one of the great, is actually, it's the only one of the mysteries that was in Paul's gospel that he called great. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And we're going to be looking at this ministry, at this mystery. And in this warfare that we're in, this battle that we're in, this is one mystery. You can see that the mystery of iniquity is tried to overshadow, is tried to destroy from our knowledge and the belief of the world around us. And that is the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Now, this world does not want you to believe that. If Jesus Christ is God, then he has authority. If he's just a man, he don't have authority. If he's just a great prophet, you know, he doesn't have authority, because this prophet has lied. He's a liar. Because Jesus made it plain that he was the great I am. And all through the scriptures we can see this. But in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, we have a prophecy that the Lord gave to Adam and Eve. We know how Adam and Eve had sinned, and God wasn't, no matter what you might think, God wasn't, he wasn't caught blindsided by that. He didn't, it wasn't like he didn't know that Adam and Eve was going to disobey him. He already knew that when he created them. Because Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. It was already in God's foreknowledge. He understood what Adam and Eve was going to do. He didn't come up to, oh no, what am I going to do now that they've sinned? How am I going to take care of this? No, it wasn't like that at all. He knew that they were going to sin. He knew when he made Satan that he was going to rebel. He said, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't necessarily like it either, but God's right, I'm wrong. God is God. He has right to do what he chooses to do. He made us. We didn't make him. And he has power over the clay. And God always does what's right. I'm sure of that. I might not agree with it, but guess who's wrong? I'm wrong. God is right. Amen. And you can depend on the righteousness of God when you run into something in the Bible that you don't understand or you don't necessarily like. You know? And know that God will do what's right. Now, we knew that they sinned, and the Lord called unto Adam and said, "Him, where art thou?" That's in verse 9. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." Now, she started off with a good statement there. She told the truth. She told the truth. She said, "The devil tricked me. He fooled me. He got the best of me." And the Bible said, for this reason, a woman ought not to teach, because she was deceived. Boy, you look at it. The cults, you know who they go after? You know who them Jehovah's Witnesses are targeting? Women. They want to go after your wives and your daughters. That's who they go after. Because a woman was deceived. And that's the reason why, men, it's our job to do a good job of teaching the ladies the truth of the Word of God. It's our job as husbands Hey, to teach the Word of God and to be the priest of our homes and teach the Word of God systematically to our wives and our children. You say, well, my children's all gone. Well, I don't mean, that's no reason to stop having devotions together. We have devotion. We try to have it twice a day. We try to get up in the morning and read the Bible and pray together. And we try to do it every night before we go to bed. And we talk about the Word of God in my house. And that's so important. Why? Because she was deceived. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, I did eat. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And God called it an it. In another place, he called it that holy thing. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Hold that thought in your mind, that it shall bruise thy heel. In Romans, chapter 16. Yeah. In verses 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Notice that. The God of peace. He shall be called the Prince of Peace. Referencing unto the Lord Jesus, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, we see the reference of the incarnation of God right from the very beginning of the Bible. We know that the Bible has taught that Jesus Christ, being slain from the foundation of the world, it was in God's mind to be born of woman. From the very beginning. From the moment he started this creation. From the moment that he started this thing, it was in God's plan. I think it's because he wanted a relationship with us. That we could understand how much God loves us and how much God wants to have that personal relationship with us, and he is willing to do this. God, who made us, is willing to be made like unto us. Now look at this and turn to the book of 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. I want you to hold your, when you get there, I want you to hold your place there. We actually are going to begin reading in 15. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Hold your place here. Then I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew. Hold your place there. Turn to the book of Matthew. And we're going to begin reading in verses 18. Matthew chapter 1, sorry. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Then thou shalt call his name, and I like it, it says capital, every letter. The only other place you find that done is when you see the word Lord, which stands for Jehovah, or I am that I am. But you see in capital letters, J-E-S-U-S, for why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now the children of Israel, whose people are they? They're God's chosen people. What God? Jehovah God. The I am, the great I am. And buddy, when Jesus told them Pharisees, he said, before Abraham was, I am, they understood what he was saying, that he was the great I am, the one that delivered them out of Egypt, the one that had called them by his great power, the one who had created the universe, hey, the one that they had to give an account to. And God wanted them to understand that this promise that was given to Eve had now been performed in their eyes. That Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And notice this. He said, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That is hated by this world. This world hates this truth. This truth is so important that I can't begin to explain why. But Jesus Christ's death on the cross without his incarnation could not have saved us. If he was just a man, him dying on the cross couldn't have saved us. It had to be God himself. He is the only Savior. Amen. A man, I know the Bible said that Moses was a Savior. But God had selected him who was actually doing the saving. He was doing it through a human instrument. God was actually the Savior. Moses was the instrument that God worked through. Amen? The same way, God wants us to be Saviors. Paul talked about that. Talked about that I might save some. Amen? Now, we know that Paul couldn't save anybody, but he knew that God could use him as an instrument and save souls. God is the only Savior. And we must understand that Jesus, and we need to proclaim it loudly, definitely don't be ashamed of it, that Jesus Christ is God. You might not know, my grandfather never, years, he did not understand that. He said, well, he's the Son of God. I said, yeah, he was the Son of God, but he was God in flesh. He couldn't grasp that. He couldn't get his mind around that. I can't either, can you? But it don't make no difference. God said it, and it's so. God, hey, was manifest in the flesh. But, you know, one of the verses that always amazed me was over in John where Jesus said, he said, nobody had seen God at any given time. He said, only the Son of God hath declared him who came down from heaven. Then he said, and who is in heaven. Now, Jesus Christ had come down from heaven, but guess what? He was still in heaven. You know, how is that possible? How could he come down from heaven and still be in heaven? Because he was in his Father. The same way that I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven, seated in Christ Jesus right now in heavenly places. People ask me, you think you want to go to heaven? I said, I don't think I'm going. I think I'm already there in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm just waiting for my body to catch up with my spirit, who's seated with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. I don't think I'm going. I think I'm already there in Christ Jesus. I'll be glad when the rest of me gets there. You know what I'm saying? But right now, I am in heaven in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ, hey, being God, he can... This amazes me. Think about the great is a mystery. How great this mystery is. Jim, do you know that all of God lives in you? The Word of God says so. All of Him. Well, wait a minute. Brother Melvin, all of God lives in you. Did you know that? All of Him. Not part of Him, all of Him. And every person in here that's saved, all of God lives in you, and He lives in all of us all at the same time. Now, how are you going to explain that? It don't work in mathematics. Sometimes mathematics just will not work to explain God and the power of God. God's got different kind of mathematics than we got. Amen. His mathematics don't work like ours does. He's one. Hey, man, you take three persons and you only got one God. Amen. Huh? And you take that one God and you got three persons. And notice this. We're all members, but all one body. And Jesus ain't got but one body. And we're it, and He's the head. And all of God lives in every one of us. I cannot explain that. How did God get all? I mean, He's so big, He spanned the heavens. We're talking about the heavens, not one, all three of them with His hands. He poured out the oceans and measured them out in the palm of His hands. But yet, that God is so immense and great, all of Him can dwell in you. Hey, the Bible said, we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Huh? There's a lot more to man than we realize. Don't sell yourself short. Without God, we're like Brother Jim said, we ain't nothing but a zero with the rim kicked off. Buddy, when God comes in, that what God has made becomes something that we can't even begin to comprehend. It's beyond our measure. We have a great God. Now, I say this. God was manifest in the flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not going to get into this yet, but we're going to follow right out of this mystery into the mystery that this is a mystery. That Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, God was manifest to the world in His Son, but guess what? He still wants to be manifest to the world in us. Are we getting the job done? That's what we got to ask ourselves. Are we letting God be manifest out of us? Now, looking at this right here, we see that He was manifest, and we see that He was incarnated. And I wasn't going to read these others, but for the sake of time, I can go through. You find the account. Well, let's turn to Luke. Let's go ahead and look at Luke. Now, so I'm going to go to Mark. We'll look at Mark. We're going to look at both all of them. We ain't going to get no hurry. In Mark chapter 1, there's not a whole lot written there in the book of Mark chapter 1. To the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God, it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee, the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John did baptize in the wilderness and preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There went about all the land of Judea and of Jerusalem. They were all baptized in the river Jordan. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. He did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I have indeed baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Straightway cometh up out of the water, he saw the heaven open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon them. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. We see that he's the Son of God, and we see the second person, and we see all three persons of the Godhead right there. We see the Son of God. We see God the Father bearing testimony that this was his Son. And we see the Spirit of God filling him not without measure, filled him with the Holy Spirit and all of the Spirit. He received all of it. He always did those things that pleased the Father. Looking in the book of Luke, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how important is it? So important. All of hell is doing everything it can to keep this world from seeing it. They don't want them to understand the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 27, I'll begin verse 10. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Again, capital J-E-S-U-S. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then probably the greatest one found in the book of John, chapter 1, of the incarnation of who Jesus Christ is. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Boy, the Jehovah's Witnesses hate that verse. They hate that verse. Yeah, they change it. They change it, the Word was God, to the Word was a God. Little g. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, notice this, were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Well, God created everything. It didn't say a God created everything. It said God created everything. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I run into people and they tell me that they're atheists. I say, I don't believe you. I said, God said that his Son, Jesus Christ, was a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I said, you may say you don't believe in God is simply because you don't want to believe. You're afraid that you're going to have to stand before this God, and you're going to have to give account to this God, and He has authority. That's what you're afraid of. I got one time, we used to have these books of John. You remember, we used to keep a bunch of them here. And I always carried them things with me just for them. And I'd say, I tell you what, I'm going to give you this book of John right here. You read this week, and I'll come back next week. If you will tell me, do you believe, beyond the shadow of a doubt, you do not believe what this Bible, this little book says right here, I said, I'll give you $50. And I ain't yet to have one take me up on it. No, no. He was scared of that. He don't want to believe. And you can read it over in the book of Romans chapter 1, that because they did not want to believe that God allowed them, He gave them a reprobate mind. But it's still in there. Jesus Christ is a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It says, that was a true light, the light of every man that cometh in the world. He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's the reason why it's important also to understand that Jesus is not Son of God, the only Son of God, as some versions have said. That's not true. Jesus is not the only Son of God. They are created sons. The angels are the sons of God. And everyone that's been born again, born of God, we are the sons of God. But Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He's the only one that came out of God. He's the only one, hey, that was God and then was made a man. We were made a man and then made the Son of God. The angels are the created sons of God. They were never God. And they're not born of God. They are created sons of God. So it's important. The Word of God, every Word of God is important. You can't be just tweaking it a little bit here and there to fit, you know, the things you want to say. The Word of God is perfect and pure, and we can depend on it. Don't let nobody take the Bible from you. Amen. A lot of good men went to Bible college and had their Bible stole from them. I think that's the reason why we need to get back, the churches need to get back training preachers and take it away from the Bible colleges. God never instituted a Bible college. He did institute the church. And He told the pastors to train men. It's their job to train men to go out and do the work of God. We have fell away from the way the Bible said to do things severely. We need to get back at it. And this is one of the things we failed. Hey, we failed. We, you know, like brother Joe said many a time. He said these guys that start these cults, they were just disgruntled Bible students. Somebody hadn't trained them in the Bible the way they should have. Didn't teach them why that Jesus was God. Not really show them dogmatically. How? Now let's go look at that verse again. Let's go back to Timothy chapter 3, verses 16. Look at the very first of this verse, and it says, without controversy. Well, you know what controversy is, don't you? That's argument. You got a debate. God says, this ain't even debatable. It's not even debatable. If you're going to, hey, everything that we know about God, where did we get it from? We got it from this Bible right here. And when you look at this Bible, it's not debatable. The Bible makes it clear. I mean, it makes it clear that God was manifest in the flesh. So why is it that so many people have problems with it? Got a bunch of lost people trying to interpret the Bible. See, this Bible is spiritually discerned. The only way it can be understood is not by your intellect. You are taught the Spirit shall guide you into all truth. And He shall teach you. The Spirit has to teach people. And we got lost people. Dead. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And they are sitting in Bible institutes and Bible colleges. And you see these things, you know, the real Jesus. How many of you ever seen those kind of things, shows on television? They wouldn't know the real Jesus if He walked into the room. They wouldn't know the real Jesus if He sat down beside and put His arm around and said, and spoke to them. Why? Because the same reason they didn't know Him when He was on this earth before. They hated Him. You understand? They hated Him. I don't understand. How is it that men hate Jesus? A good man. A man that went about doing good. Find Him doing something bad. I don't understand. Why did they hate Him? Because His light exposed what they are. You remember when that light exposed what you were? Huh? Was you real happy about it? Huh? Was you real happy when you was under conviction? There was times I'd get kind of mad about it. I'll be the first to tell you, I was mad with God for a long time, for years. I said, God, what do you do? You make me just go to hell? All them people, all these people are dying and going to hell? Is that why you made us? You get some kind of kick out of watching people suffer? Going into torments? Any of y'all ever have thoughts like that? I did. But I knew that He's the one that had to save them. You said, what changed your mind? When I seen for who He really was. Well, I saw Him on the cross. How are you gonna accuse Him of not caring? Huh? How can you accuse Him, the one who sat there and told them buzzards, amen? He said, you hate me without a cause. If I've done something bad, show me what it is I've done. And He reached out to them over and over. He said, and my hand is stretched out still. That changed my mind, you see. When I saw Him for what He did for me, all of a sudden I realized, this ain't His fault. This is our fault. He's done everything possible without turning us into a bunch of robots and making us do it. For years, I felt like a fella asked me one time, he said, well, if God's so good and so great, won't He make people do right? I said, well, He's going to. He's going to. For 1,000 years, ain't He, Brother Ernie? He's going to come back. He's going to take away the sin of the world by force and by power. He's going to sit down and rule over this earth. And, buddy, there ain't going to be no hell holes and honky-tonks. You ain't got to worry about the county serving beer on public properties. It ain't going to happen. Huh? You ain't going to have to worry about the ABC stores. You ain't going to have to worry about the houses of prostitution and all the other wickedness going on. He's going to take it away by power. And He's going to have the power to do it. There's nothing going to be hid from Him. Guess what? Everybody's going to be saying, ain't that wonderful? God's making us all do right now. Everything's right and righteous and good. No, they ain't going to like it at all. Matter of fact, there's going to be a bunch of them that God's going to have to judge them during that time. They're going to go through famine. They're going to go through drought. Because if they don't come up to worship Him, He's going to force their hand. to come up. And at the end of that, the majority of this world is going to turn on him. Why? Because we're depraved. Mankind is a depraved, wicked, sick bunch of people. And the only thing that can make a difference is the goodness of God. I told him, I said, well, one of these days God is going to make us do what's right, and guess what? You ain't going to like him then either. I said, the only thing that's going to make you, and when you see the goodness of God, you change your mind. What is it that gives man repentance? It's the goodness of God. When people see that God is good and man's bad. Man is the children of the devil. You understand that? Until a man is born of God, he's a child of the devil. Just like we were. You remember when you was a child of the devil? You remember what it was like? Huh? Did you see what good things the devil had done for you? Huh? Your buddies. You remember some of them buddies you used to have? I've talked at work before, and they said, well, I ain't got no friends. I said, no, I'm your friend, but I ain't your buddy. I said, I know how buddies are. They'll be gone as soon as things get bad. I said, if you got a problem, you really need me, you can call me. I'll come. I'll try to help you. I'm not going to help them do wrong. But I'll try to help them. So I'm your friend. I'll be your friend. I made up my mind about that a long time ago. A man needs me. All you have to do is call me and ask me. I'll do what I can. I can't do everything, but I'm going to be his friend. But I'm not going to be his buddy. I don't need no buddies, amen. They'll turn their back on you just like that, amen. Hey, when I got saved, all them buddies I had, oh, they gone. Are you right? And then I come around to be their friend. Guess what? They didn't want me there. I'll never forget going to see an old boy. And I got there when I got to his house. I was just talking to him. I wasn't even talking to him about God. You know what I'm saying? I was just sitting there talking. But he'd already heard something had happened to me. But he wasn't there, and he put in a movie. It had a bunch of foul cussing and stuff in it, trying to run me out. I just sat there and took it. And I talked to him a little bit longer. Next thing I know, he come and walked there, and he lit up a joint and started smoking a joint in front of me. I just put up with it and sat there. And finally I said, I told him why I came. I said, I just want to let you know. I said, I think you already know it. I'm not the same guy I used to be. God saved me. And I just like to tell you that God loves you. And if you ever need me for anything, give me a call. And I've seen him several times since then. His wife got saved. His son later made a profession that he got saved. I don't know if he's ever got saved. But your buddies will cut you loose, but praise God, you can still be their friend. Amen. This mystery was out of argument. This Bible is full. It tells us over and over and over again that God, became a man. He was incarnated. He took on flesh. Now, this word godliness is a noun. It's not a verb or an adverb or an adjective. It's a noun. Great is the mystery of godliness. See, that's an attribute of God. God became a man, you see. And if you've got any godliness about you, guess who it is? It's God. It's not you. It's not that all of a sudden now you've become good. You've got the person of God in you. And that's where the godliness comes from. I've run out of time, but we got to this first point here, that this mystery has no argument. This world might want to tell you, well, you know, the real Jesus. I said, no, you're going to find out who the real Jesus is when you look at the real Word of God. You got to get rid of this junk and trust in men. And if you want to know who God is, you're going to have to go to God. You're not going to go to man and find out who God is. And that's all we need to do, folks. We just need to tell people the truth. You're not going to get God on television. You're not going to get God in your magazines. You're going to get God on your knees when you submit to Him. And we need to tell people that. We need to let them know that the only place they're going to find God is when they want to know Him. You want to know God, you can know Him. But you got to want to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.